The following was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe. This is the United Podcast Network.
If you're building, or buying, or selling a home, the real estate crew's got news for you at the Real Estate House Party.
With attorney Rick Carter.
Real Estate House Party.
Paralegal Kathy Holsthausen.
Real Estate House Party. Come in, have fun.
And comedian Tony V. Now, here's real estate attorney Rick Carter.
Welcome and thanks for joining us here on the Real Estate House Party. John Maroney, the Iceman's here today.
Thank God you said that. I thought it was Kathy. Because,
well,
you know, she said she was getting her hair done, but I go, that's a whole makeover.
And you didn't want to say something.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah,
because you don't know.
You don't know. She might have been looking for that look.
Yeah, people are very touchy these days about what you say.
It's complicated.
Right.
You're not supposed to ask.
Oh, you know what? I capitalized on that. I capitalized on not asking.
Yeah.
What do you mean you capitalized on not asking?
Well, I had a, I hated to do it, but I did it. I had a question on my wife's credit card, and she goes, oh, why don't you just call him and deal with it? I'm not on the credit card. And, so I called them up, and I just said, you know, I had a question about my credit card. They're like, is this Mrs. Maroney? I go, yes, this is Mrs. Maroney. And we were able to continue the conversation.
Yeah. That's all you have to do, yes.
A couple of years ago, you wouldn't have been able to get away with that.
But they can't question.
I didn't even change my voice.
No. They can't.
You actually made it deeper to see how long you could go with it, huh?
Yes, this is it. I have a cold.
They can't ask. It's a different world, man.
Sound like Snow White down at Disneyland.
I was at a show the other day, and you know, it's a different world.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Is,
and I try. I'm not. You know, I'm not a
shot at it.
Yeah, I do. I try to understand, I try to stay current and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to start the statement by saying, I'm not a creep.
Yeah.
Okay. Is what all creeps say before they say something creepy.
Before they do something creepy. Right.
But I was waiting to go on at the show, and it was a private show, and everybody was getting ready in the other room for the show, and I was sitting in a little ante room, and the wife of the guy who hired me came in and said, oh, are you Tony? And I said, yeah, I'm a comedian, but we'll be ready for you in about 20 minutes. She had a baby in her arm.
Yeah.
And the baby started fussing, and, you know, it's just her and I in the room.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, you must be hungry. So
you?
No, to the baby. I was too, but I don't think.
So I thought you were
going to
jump in on the other side.
Well, when you see where this was going.
I know exactly where it was going.
Yeah. So she sat right next to me on the couch and proceeded to breastfeed the baby.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's a completely natural thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not used to people just whipping out random boobs at.
It sounds like one of those shows to see how much you'll put up with.
And so now it's like, how much do I not pay attention? You know what I mean? Have you, like this, sometimes you don't see stuff and you just don't see it. And then other times you concentrate on not saying stuff and it makes it even worse.
Makes it more awkward.
Right, because I'm just staring straight ahead like, so, how's everything? Nice to see you. Hope the show goes well.
So, did you bring anything up or did you talk about or just?
No, I let that go. Yeah, no, yeah. Because you can't, you know, because now you are creepy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, at some point, you know, well, I know, but sits right down beside you.
Yeah.
I mean, what's she expecting
out
of you?
She obviously didn't mind.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Right. So
and it's not nothing I haven't seen before. I have kids, you know.
So Disney's going to have to change the song Small World After All to a different world.
World After All. Yeah. But I was just so aware of how I wasn't looking.
Did you want to change your mind when she says, are you hungry?
Yeah. I could need another thing.
I was watching The Wizard of Oz the other day, and there was a line that I'm like, oh, now I get it. When the scarecrow, she first meets him, and she's like, which way should I go? He goes, go this way. I'll go that way. He goes, oh, some people do go both ways. I'm like, oh, now I get it.
It's been there the whole time.
Did we see the behind the scenes of The Wizard of Oz?
No.
Oh, my God. All the stuff that happened. You must know all about that.
Yeah, well, apparently there was a lot of people humping going on.
Exactly.
They were drinking.
They were chasing Judy.
Yeah.
You ever see the flake scene? I forgot what pot it is, but
with the poppies.
Yeah. That's asbestos.
Of course, great.
There we go. They found out years later that there was asbestos. Boxes of asbestos there. Judy had entertained time. So how you doing? We got a lot of stuff going on in the mortgage world here, huh?
Oh yeah, you know we're doing a lot of.
You're a lender.
I am a lender. Yeah. I'm a mortgage advisor, mortgage expert, nice. Mortgage.
Whatever.
I give away money for a living.
Has this thing we've been talking about the last couple of weeks with this new ruling, does that affect you at all?
Not yet.
Will it?
But
it could. I've been dealing with it already with some. So basically, the ruling is it's going to
National Association of Realtors.
Yeah. And
hello, legend.
The court said in MLS, the realtor can't say how much they're going to give out.
How many percentages?
Right. But
it's all negotiable?
No, you can't even. On the MLS, they can't even mention anything about a commission. Okay. However, they are able to.
There's a little area, a field.
That would say we're going to pay out 2%.
Yeah, exactly.
To the buyer's agent.
They can't do that anymore.
No, not on the MLS, but they can do that on their website.
Yep.
They're able to do that.
Yep. So that's how they're going to get the word out.
Right.
So,
I mean, this could go a couple of ways. It could be like a good listing realtor will explain to their seller, hey, listen, you're going to want to pay out to a buyer's agent because you're going to get a lot more qualified buyers. You're probably going to get more money for the house. You know, opposed to if you're not going to pay, and maybe you're just going to pay 2 or 2.5% or even 3% to me. And if we're not going to pay the buyer's agent, they may either not show the house because they feel they're not going to get paid if they can't get money from their buyer, and you're going to get it's not doing you the best show for your house.
Because they want the biggest pool of buyers as possible.
Exactly.
You get more offers. More buyers. You get more offers.
So
yeah,
if there's a situation where you have a list agent say we're not going to pay out anything, how do you get around that? So one way is, of course, the buyer will pay a buyer's agent, you know, the 2% fee. Well, what if the buyer doesn't have that 2%? How do you get around that? Well, that 2% fee it's a buyer's fee to a buyer's agent for representation, which is considered a settlement cost. So the seller can pay that. Maybe you can build it into the offer and saying, hey, we're going to offer you an extra $10,000, but we want the seller to pay the $10,000 fee. If they say no to that, then another option would be, let's say someone's putting 10% down. Well, maybe they'll just put 8% down, and then they'll
have the 2% will go somewhere else.
Exactly. Right. So where it would, if someone's doing maximum finance and they have no other money and the seller doesn't want to work with them, then that becomes a problem. One of the things I'd like to see in the mortgage field is maybe just finance it in to the loan amount, because they do that with FHA, the upfront mortgage insurance premium.
Yeah.
They finance in that 1.75%. So if they can figure out a way to finance that in.
What are the chances of them figuring out that way?
Probably close to zero. Yeah.
what prompted this?
I don't know. It might have been just some attorney out there in the Midwest.
I think it was a crafty attorney. You said, I see something here. I see sellers being forced to pay for a buyer agent with not much negotiation going on.
Right.
So that's their theory. The seller is being forced to pay, and whether it's true or not,
right,
they're being forced to pay that buyer agency. Why should they have to pay a buyer agent fee?
So it's buyer's agents that are sort of getting squeezed here.
Well, they're going to have to change their
style. They change the way
style.
They make money.
Yes. I think, I mean, as you were saying, sellers should be doing it anyway. You got to be offering up a fee to a buyer. I mean,
well, the thing is this, right? So when the list agent goes out to the house to present, you know, their offer, and you know, they would say we're going to charge you, you know, 4, 5, 6%, whatever their commission is. You know, I'm not sure if they go into more detail as to why that that fee is. I'm sure some will, some won't, but they might just, to justify it, saying, hey, we're going to need to, here's the thing, double-edged sword. So if you tell them the seller, yeah, we're gonna split that fee, or we're going to give 2% to a buyer's agent, you know, that's all well and good. But what happens if the list agent lists the house and then maybe a buyer comes with no agent, and then the seller might say, hey, do I get my 2%
back? Right.
You're keeping the whole thing.
Oh, if some other individual comes in without any agent?
Right, right. So that, where's that?
Well, yeah, it's going to get dicey, because then that buyer might be putting in a lesser of an offer, but the seller might be netting out more.
No, the list agent will.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
The listing agent.
Will be, because then the list agent will be like to say, hey, just take this deal. I know it's a little less, but they're right, solid.
Right. This seems like there's a lot of room for
skullduggery
here.
Yeah. If they've come up with an agreement with the listing agent, right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so it's, so now I guess what they're saying is in order for a buyer to make an offer, they have to be involved with a buyer's agent, and they have to sign some sort of an agreement.
Right.
Now,
which makes sense.
Yeah. And now, Rick, where does the attorney come in this? Can they offer guidance as to best offers or how to get around this?
But, I think we should all – no, it's a good point. It's a good point. Whether we'll take over that role as a buyer.
Yeah.
I think we all should stay in our lanes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Now you're going to go to a home inspection with them?
I know. Or show them. I mean, these buyer agents put a ton of work in.
Right.
They might show. I talked to a guy the other day. He says, oh, I literally showed these people 100 houses.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot to it.
Right.
So
he could do that and get not for it.
Exactly.
Or that's.
If he doesn't have an agreement with them.
Them, right.
Or, you know, that guy could just, as you say, go to some open house and all of a sudden, you know, without that buyer agent. So that buyer agent should be coming up with an agreement where, you know, if you buy anything, you know.
I get it.
I should be able to help you out on that.
Yeah, I think as a buyer, you should always have an agent anyways. I mean, because if you, let's say you go in without a buyer's agent to make an offer, that list agent is beholden to the seller, not the buyer.
Not the buyer, right.
So you're like on your own. Right. Anything that comes up, you know.
Right.
So in other words, you have to make a separate deal with the buyer's agent before you go into it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or not have a buyer's agent and trust yourself.
Yeah.
That's what you're left with.
Yeah, some people think that's fine. Like, oh, yeah, looking around, everything looks good. And then, I mean, and then.
But it almost minimizes the buyer's agent's role. I mean, you know, these people are very sharp. They know what a house should be selling
for.
Sure, of course.
They know the comps. They know the area.
Exactly. They know what
something sold for. They know what this house needs.
This guy has a certain kitchen. This is probably worth more than this house.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you send me in there, or any other attorney. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, walk in, place is loaded with asbestos. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, sure.
Peeling paint, don't worry about it. We're good. You know, the floor's creaking a little.
You don't have any kids. How old are your kids? They're not going to be chewing on the windowsills, are they? Yeah.
Is that urea formaldehyde really that bad for you?
Yeah.
But you're right. So I think, you know, we could certainly help to answer your question. I mean, we could help where we normally would. But, again, just what neighborhoods appreciate more than the other one.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure if an attorney, you know, has all those stats. Or, you know, there's another stat, you know, how many days are on the market.
Right.
You know, more days they're on the market,
more of a dog of a house.
Exactly,
exactly.
Sure. So you're not going to be offering the same. I mean, well, buyer agents.
What if someone sees the house during the day and they never went there on a Friday or Saturday night, not realizing next block there's a bar.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, try living on a street that has a monument at the top of it.
Why, not many people go in that neighborhood, do they?
Oh, sweet Jesus. 2:30 in the morning, I got some millennial trying to explain what the Bunker Hill battle was.
Did you tell him it wasn't in there?
I'm just sitting in my window going, he's lying to you.
It's Breed's Hill.
He's just trying to get you into bed.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything.
Would you like to go out and do the own tours?
Yeah, I'd do it. Right, yeah.
You should do that.
I should do my own tours.
You know, dress up like Ben Franklin. Or
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Have you, as you as the tour guide?
On the Freedom Trail.
Walk around with the bell.
Did you ever go on the Paul Revere? Did you ever do the Paul Revere thing?
Into the Paul Revere house?
Yeah, well, that whole little tour.
Yeah.
Have you?
Not for years, but I have.
I mean, we kind of take it for granted a little bit around here.
We take it a lot for granted.
I mean, people travel all around to see our wonderful neighborhood.
It's the Cradle of Liberty. It's, I mean, well.
Yeah.
It was the Cradle of Liberty. I don't know what we got now, but it sort of started out that way, yeah.
So I was, one of my offices was right there, the third floor of the Bell and Hand Tavern. So the Freedom Trail.
Oh,
was right,
nice.
Yeah.
That
was great.
Yeah.
So I was talking to someone who said he was Ben Franklin. And, and he was telling me, he said, hey, do you know what the Boston Tea Party was all about? I said, yeah, it was the taxation of tea. No. Like, what do you mean, no? He goes, the taxation of rum. He goes, they weren't going to throw rum in the harbor.
Good point.
Yeah, it always comes down to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That restaurant was pretty, that was one of the oldest in the country, right?
Yep.
Bell and Hand.
Oldest tavern.
Yeah. Close to, I think.
They have an open mic night there on Monday nights.
Really?
They have for about 25 years.
No.
Yeah, very few people know about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe they should.
Yeah.
Get Ben Franklin in there.
I think it's still running, but it ran for at least 25 years. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It's probably a pretty funky place to do that.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Wait, second floor, right?
Second floor. Well, yeah, it started downstairs, and then they were doing shows upstairs. They have a nice little room up there. Gus, my son and I did a show up there.
Did you?
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, last summer. Yeah.
How'd it go?
Good. It was great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I remember when I had my office on the third floor, and it was like when I first started.
How did you find that place, first of all?
My brother found it.
Okay, enough said.
Yeah. So all of a sudden I hear all this. It's like a Tuesday. All this music, commotion. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I come down there. Oh, it's a band trying out. We do this every week. Make sure the band's good. Like, all right. That's cool.
All right. So you're going to tell us how someone can go in, because cash offers are king these days, obviously.
Yeah.
They always have been. But
who's got all this cash?
That's my point.
By the way.
Exactly.
Houses are up. Right?
Right.
House prices are up.
That's exactly right. That was my point. So someone's buying $1.2 million house, but they have no mortgage financing. Right. So they say, oh, by the way, we're not going to have mortgage financing, but we're really going to get a mortgage because no one has $1.2 million sitting
there. Well, there's a lot of foreign buyers coming in now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yep, about 30%.
And so they got all our cash over in the foreign countries?
They
30,
do.
30%?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you say cash offer, and I'm picturing people standing at a kitchen table emptying their pockets.
Couch.
What do you need? What do you need?
All right. $1 million, $1 million, $2 million. I got the 100,000 in quarters. I don't know. How does that work? I don't.
Oh, that's our limit. We don't take quarters.
So a cash buyer, they could have money in stocks or what have you, and then they liquidate it. So basically, it's their way of saying, we're going to pay cash. We're not going to get a mortgage. There's not going to be any mortgage contingency.
Which is great,
as a seller. You don't want the problem with the
less stumbling blocks in the way.
The biggest one is the appraisal.
The appraisal,
So if someone makes a good list agent will ask for proof of funds that you actually have it.
Right.
You know?
So what would you do? Just tell everyone what proof of funds are. It's actually showing deposits, right?
Yeah, either show like a bank account with all the money. For real.
Here's a picture of my money.
Yes.
So unzip to your bag.
Yeah, you got a duffel
bag. There you go. Take what more proof do you need?
Take a picture of Pablo Escobar's palette. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, so a good broker would either ask for a pre-approval letter. Or proof of funds.
Proof of funds, definitely.
What's the difference between a pre-approval letter and a pre-qualification letter?
Pre-qualification is I don't verify anything. I take their word for it. You're good?
Yeah, you want to buy this house?
Yeah. This is how much you're going to pay a month. You good?
You have an honest face.
Yeah. You know, what could go wrong?
Are those programs coming back? What is it?
We have right now. I just saw one of the brokers I can send it to where you don't state your income and you don't state your employment. You just
state anything?
The money that you're putting down.
I want to buy this house. That's my statement.
Yeah, I predicted this. Wall Street can't help themselves. You know,
they always find a way around it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I remember 10 years ago, no, more than that, right? 2008, 2009. They said, oh, these programs will never come back again. Oh, yeah. I go, yeah, they will. And I showed them a quote, right, that said, you know, everything about the no income verification, it's terrible, it's all that. And it was a quote from like 1974. Well, they'll never come back again.
Yeah, yeah. Every decade. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, because you got a whole new
generation.
They
just call it something different, right?
Yeah.
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 2008 was a killer, though, when they kept doing the 80% programs, 90%, 95%, 100%, and then it turned into 103%.
I saw that evolve. I was, when I was running just Fannie Mae, if someone had a 580 credit score, they had different levels of approvals, level, you know, 1, 2, and 3. And literally, someone could have a 580 credit score, and their debt ratio could be up to like 64.9, and I can get an approval.
Wow.
So the rate would maybe be at most like a percent higher than the regular rate.
Yeah.
But the subprime rates were 3% higher. So what that did was it took away the subprime business, a lot of it. So then the subprime, they responded. Basically, they just said, all right, every loan.
So what's the subprime business?
So the subprime is, you know, someone that really has terrible credit, and they would just, basically, it got to the point, you just, if they could fog the mirror, they'd get them a loan.
Okay.
it's that simple. You know, right. You put the mirror, and then, fog the mirror, put it in a Ziploc, write their name on it, approval, send it in.
The next step is to call one of Tony's friends down at the at the project. Yeah.
So,
right.
So this is how it all blew up. Someone would call and say, okay, I need to do a cash out refinance, and I'd fog the mirror. Okay, you get a loan. Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe a couple of years later, you know, the values of the house would go up, and they'd say, hey, I'm starting to get in trouble. I think I might be falling behind in my mortgage. Can you get me a mortgage? I said, all right, can you fog the mirror? Yes, great. I can get you a new mortgage. Oh, well, yeah, I can get you some cash, too, if you want. Oh, yeah, I'll take cash.
Sure.
Great. A couple more years goes by. Value keeps going up. Same thing. Well, it got to the point where the value stopped. So then that same person would call me and say, I can't do anything for you. Your value is not there.
Right.
I had some person call me up. I did their loan. I did 100% financing. It was $200,000 property, $200,000 loan. It was in Lynn. He calls me up 7 years later. He goes, John, I'm in trouble. I think I'm going to lose my house. I'm like, oh, you're kidding. All right. You paid $200 for it. I go, how much do you owe? He goes, $425,000. I said,
you are really? In trouble.
Yeah, I said, well, I go, wait a second. Okay. How old are your kids? Oh, they're all off. They're out of college. I go, you attached to the neighborhood? He goes, no. I go, what are you worried about?
Hey.
I go, you haven't made a mortgage payment in 7 years.
He's like, you haven't made a payment?
Well, think about it. He started off at $200, and now he has a mortgage of $425. He went on vacations.
Oh,
he didn't pay for anything.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
you've had a nice life up till now.
I go, let me correct your initial statement. You said you're in trouble.
And then annoyed they get foreclosed on.
I said, it sounds like
they're ripped off.
I said, you said you're in trouble. It sounds like the bank's in trouble. I said, why don't you do a short sale? Short what? All right, here we go. This is how it works.
Yeah. All we were doing for a couple of years was just short sales.
Right.
That was horrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, so what happened was,
who loses in the short sale? The bank?
The taxpayers.
You know?
Everyone loses.
Yeah.
The homeowner loses, the bank loses, taxpayer loses.
So people would say, that scenario all the way up that I just kept talking about, people kept refinancing. They say, how's that possible? Well, what happens is when someone's about to fall behind, I refinance them. That loan gets paid off. The industry said, wow, that fog of mirror program works great. Let's do more of those. They perform well. Right. They do it. They didn't know the guy's about to fall behind.
Because they get to skip a mortgage payment, right?
Yeah.
Well, not skip it. Delays it.
Delays
that's right.
It.
They don't lose the ability where they have to pay back. But
And then when someone wants cash, right, you know, the next if I say, I can get you some cash, the next question out of their mouth is, how fast can we close?
And how much?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's it.
Is there requirements now where you can't take out a certain amount of cash?
No, you can.
I forgot who was asking.
Yeah, of course you can.
I saw your note.
You can
note.
Do anything. Sure, of course.
I saw your note on your new company. I'm wanting to mention because we're not here to promote different companies.
Right,
you know,
right.
I don't want a favor.
We're company agnostic here.
But, but their motto is learn how to never say no to a loan. So I can see why you went there.
Yeah. We can't mention their name?
My people. You know? It's never no. It's just not yet.
Not yet.
No is an acronym for not over.
Meet me round back.
Yeah.
We'll see what we can do. Yeah. I do a lot of those deals. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So for cash, then, if we're competing with a cash buyer, how can they come to you? What do you have a program that you can help?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Of course he does. Didn't you just read the thing?
I did. I played softball a lot in my life. So. Yeah.
So we have a cash program. So we'll have the borrower apply, and we'll pre-approve him, have an underwriter look at it, get it approved. And they can even put 5% down. So once we know we have a solid commitment, at that point, they're eligible for the cash program where the bank itself will buy the property on their behalf. So the bank will...
If something goes... Okay, go ahead.
So,
go ahead.
Yep. So the person just puts 5% down.
Yep.
The offer is written that the bank is buying the property, and they'll also send the realtor the proof of funds.
Okay.
So when the bank closes on the house as they are the owner, like within 7 days, we come in with the financing.
Yeah.
So the person now buys the house from the mortgage company.
So this step's done, so they can say that it's a cash offer.
Yep.
So
because the bank has the cash.
Now the bank has the cash and is now selling to your client.
So
have you done a few of these yet? Have you seen them?
I've had people inquire about them.
I know this is a new program.
The company itself has done 1,000 of them.
Really?
Yep. So if someone's trying to sell their house, but they can't qualify for both mortgages, that's okay because we won't debt them for the house that they're selling.
Okay.
So they can qualify for the new mortgage.
Yeah.
Who comes up with these schemes? That's what
the owners of the company did, because they felt that, you know, in 2021, they saw that good qualified buyers were losing out
to cash buyers.
Now, so they decided to come up with this program. And what they found was
we got to do that program again. So you ever see The Office with he goes, explain it to me like I'm a 7-year-old.
Right.
So explain again that process, because I think that's huge now, because a lot of people in the past were having problems because they own one house, paying $4,000 a month on that house.
Right.
And then they're buying another house that's also going to be $4,000. They're not going to qualify for $8,000, right?
No, they're not.
Right.
So you don't debt the house they own.
Right.
We don't debt the house they own.
And what's the criteria to allow
that
as Tony says, don't debt that house. Do you have to have it on the market?
It has to be on the market 1 day prior to the bank purchasing this new house.
So you have the intent of selling that house.
Correct. And they'll do a quick desktop evaluation of the house that you're selling. You need to have 30% equity in the house.
Okay.
So what happens is when the bank owns the house, they're actually a landlord for you for that short period of time, whether it's 7 days or 10 days.
Yeah.
So they actually sign up a lease for you on a per diem, but you don't have to pay until you sell your house. So you're not paying two mortgages at the same time.
I see.
So you're
essentially saying to the bank, I have 5% of what I need.
Yep.
Here it is. And I give you this 5%, and you will make good on the cash offer for this house.
That way you can
And then
them.
I'll sell my house and pay that off and then give you whatever's left.
Exactly.
That way you can go to your new buyer and show that you have 100%.
Yep.
You're not a 5%
And so
buyer.
This is good for even a VA loan.
My head hurts.
This is good for a VA, a veteran.
Well, let's stick with all right, go ahead. Do the VA.
Because here's the thing.
Because the VA, go ahead.
So they just want the veteran just to put like 1.5% down because they want to put some skin in the game.
Right, right.
So the person that's selling the house, They have no idea who the buyer is. They just know they're getting a cash buyer.
Right. It doesn't matter to them because they're going to end up with cash.
That's right.
The only program you cannot do with this is FHA because of the 90-day flip rule. So you can't.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So they won't allow that.
A lot of people don't know about that flip rule.
I know.
Because someone will be. So do you want to explain or should I?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So we've actually ran into the situation where, say there's a builder fixing up the house. He buys it a month ago, fixes it all up.
Right.
He's flipping it.
Right. Which is a common
which
thing.
Which is a very common
thing. You buy
thing.
A house, you
exactly,
fix it
exactly,
up.
Exactly, exactly.
You sell it for more than exactly. you bought it for, and then it's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the only curveball is that if that new buyer is getting an FHA loan, they're going to say, he's flipping it. We have a seasoning requirement. Some are like 90 days.
It's 91 days. So it's like the contract, the P&S, can't be signed until 91 days after when the seller.
I see.
So this buyer got hosed. He says, I didn't know that guy was flipping and only owned it for a month. You know, he thought he had it for, you know, whatever.
Yeah. He thought he owned it outright.
Yeah. So that threw off his whole financing. He had a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the seller didn't want to delay, huh?
Put your trust in professionals, my friends.
I know.
That's what you get out of this.
I think we've had a lot. Maybe we might have to get you back at some point here. What do you think?
I'd hang around with John Maroney. You weren't on the show.
All right, so
I don't know. I got a couple shows in Aruba.
I'll see you there. I got a palapa with our name on it, my friend.
All right, we better wrap it up for today.
All right.
But maybe we'll get you back at some point.
All right, I'd love to come back.
And we'll talk about a few more programs. Thanks for joining us on the Real Estate House Party. Tony V.
Yes.
Kathy H. It's been a wonder. Wonderful experience. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, or callers of this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Studio 21 Podcast Cafe, the United Podcast Network, its partners or affiliates.